So EC would like to see the incineration management plan as one of the license conditions, as there are other waste management plans. And we would like to see best practices for ash disposal, that it be encapsulated if need be, and that it be tested regularly enough to be sure that there's nothing that's going to generate a harmful leachate from the landfill from it. Looking at land farming of contaminated materials, this is an easy slide because AEM has satisfactorily addressed the concerns we raised for the pre-hearing meetings that were identified with the land farm operations. And we just note that these should be documented as either addenda or in a commitments list that comes forward from this hearing. Similarly, the concerns we had raised with respect to the plans for hazardous material management and spill contingency planning were addressed. And again, this concurrence should be just noted for the record in the form of either commitments or the proponent putting out addenda to the plans with those updates. There are a few closure and reclamation points. These include removal of the dewatering dikes, post-closure monitoring, closure of the treatment plant facilities, and progressive closure of the rock storage facilities. With respect to the dewatering dikes, AEM has committed that there will be appropriate mitigation measures identified and implemented prior to breaching of the dikes, and that these are to be detailed in a plan which should be submitted to the Nunavut Water Board ahead of the work. This may be for a future license beyond this one, but the closure planning should include conceptual plans for this, and we would like to see detailed information regarding the method to be used to remove or breach the dewatering dikes at least 18 months prior to commencing this work. Along with details of the chosen method, there should be mitigation measures discussed. With respect to post-closure monitoring, the proponent advised this is being developed as part of an operation maintenance and surveillance manual, and this manual will incorporate the recommendations we had made at the pre-hearing technical meetings. So we look forward to the opportunity to see this manual and suggest that it be updated periodically and circulated for review. Another one of the points we'd raised in our pre-hearing submission was if there is a treatment plant required for treatment of the reclaimed pond water, this would be retrofitted mill treatment system. We feel that this probably will be required, not that we're pessimistic, but details on the closure of such a facility could be provided on a general basis in updates to the closure plan. For example, if the mill is modified to include a treatment circuit at closure, how would this affect timing and details of its decommissioning? Our recommendation is that details on any such a facility be included in future updates to the closure and reclamation plan. And my last slide in this section, AEM has committed that a detailed monitoring and instrumentation plan will be prepared and submitted to the Nunavut Water Board for review once a final waste rock deposition plan has been developed. And this is in respect of progressive closure of the rock storage facilities. So EC would like to see such a plan as a license requirement and have results linked to closure planning. Here. I'm just going to turn the mic over to Glenn for a moment before our concluding slide.
Thank you, Anne. It's Glenn Groskopf of Environment Canada. I just wanted to mention that in other jurisdictions and mine properties where I've been involved with, they undertake what they call state of the environment reporting or roll-up reporting. There, the monitoring results are compared to what was actually predicted in EISs, and observations of the differences are explained. It's often a useful tool to see that and to demonstrate that the procedures and designs are working properly and that that there is this continuous improvement and adaptive management is being enacted. And such reports are often on a longer term basis in that they represent 3 or 5 years frequencies. And they often don't necessarily themselves are new work, but they summarize all the work that's been done over the years to demonstrate trends, as well as identify any information gaps for the next sequence of licensing that the facility may go under. I just want to take the opportunity to suggest that perhaps that might be a method employed here, in which we've got a program that'll be probably being modified during the life of the mine. Thank you.
Okay, so to our conclusion, EC would like to thank the Nunavut Water Board very much for the opportunity to participate in this water license process for the Meadowbank Gold Project. And we've also appreciated it's been an easy file to work on because of the interactive and cooperative approach the proponent has to help resolve concerns ahead of this hearing. So with that, we are available, Mr. Chair, for any questions.
Thank you. Okay, is the applicant AAM had a question or comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's Larry Connell. We do have a couple of questions for clarification. In the presentation, we talked about the consolidated monitoring plan. Do you see this as an additional plan or really just a combination of plans? We have, as you know, we have tons of plans out there. My worry is that we always get too many and nobody reads them after a while. Are we talking about a brand new plan or are we talking about something that brings them together into like a checklist to make sure that over a period of time we make sure that all the things we've committed to in monitoring are being done?
There, it's Ann Wilson. I think you are substantially there in the framework that you've got between the 2005 work and then the reports. What needs to be brought together is the EEM work. That's a separate document, just so that the perhaps a table showing which parameters are being monitored and under what, for which program, so there's no duplication, but we ensure that everything is caught for basically the four types of monitoring being SNP, AEMP, EEM, and Fisheries Act monitoring. Does that make sense?
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to ask Valerie Bertrand to ask some questions with water quality.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Valerie Bertrand. I would like to offer clarifications to 2 points. Regarding overburden that is potentially acid generating, first. It is planned that the overburden will be used in the central portion of the dike. We had not planned on testing it because, in fact, if we did use material that was potentially acid generating, it would be the perfect place for it, where it is protected in the center of the dike. It is the position here that we would actually use this material specifically for, or we would use this material for the dike, not necessarily needing to test it beforehand. But certainly we would not use material that would be potentially acid generating for other construction purposes.
Glenn Groskopf, Environment Canada. If I understand, I'm not sure there's a question there, I guess. The use of it in the core of the dam in which it's permanently wetted and there's no oxidation of it, that would be, an acceptable means to control that problematic waste. Used for road topping or as a put aside for future reclamation may be more problematic, and so I guess if I understand your question, the use in a controlled manner in the core is fine. Otherwise, you'd have to be very mindful of how you handle it. Is all the overburden going to be consumed by the core?